Well, this morning we have a special speaker. He is no stranger. Jeremy Cloninger has served for over 12 years in various ways here at Living Waters Church. He is someone, Jeremy, go ahead and work your way up here. And go ahead and give him a hand as he comes up. He is a dear friend of mine, and last year in my sabbatical, we went out to California to Bethel for a conference out there, had a great time together, and I have just had it in my heart knowing that one of these times where I have a need for someone to minister, that Jeremy was one of the guys I wanted to go to, and so I believe this is the Sunday where God has orchestrated that to have him minister to us today. If you know him at all, like I do, you know that he's a man after God's own heart. Mm. And so with that, let's just go before the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint him today. Lord Jesus, we are asking you, God, that today your anointing not only be on Jeremy, but on us and our ears, that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And Lord, that we would receive with the eyes of our heart what you have for us today. So, Lord God, thank you what you've given him, but Lord, more so, anoint our ears so we can take home today, Lord God, and apply to our life. Bless him, lead him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, family. I love you guys so much. I want to start out with a funny story. The preacher said to his congregation, "I want everyone who wants to go to heaven to stand up." Everybody stood up except for one gentleman on the front row. So he said, "I said, everybody that wants to go to heaven, please stand up." The gentleman on the front row remained seated. Finally, the preacher said, "Brother Williams, I said, everybody who wants to go to heaven, stand up." And the gentleman said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were getting a group together right now to go." So I just didn't want to volunteer that. So be careful. I remember when my dad pastored, we had one gentleman in the church that seemingly always fell asleep during my dad's message. And dad walked down the aisle one Sunday morning, and he said, I won't say the guy's name, but he said, "Ain't that right?" And slapped the guy on the shoulder. "Ain't that right, Brother Jones?" The guy jumped up. It was pretty fun. Precious memories, how they linger. So I just want to start out by honoring Stephen Riley and Philip Whitehead and the elders of Living Waters. And I just want to affirm to you as a congregation, the men that stand at the helm of this church, and I really believe of this movement, are men of integrity, men of character, men of compassion, men of tenderness, men of constant, like they are there when you need them. And I just want to honor them. I would not be the man who I am today without these men that stand at the helm of this church. So, Stephen, I honor you. Philip, Fred, Larry, I honor you guys, and I love you, and I'm thankful for you. Can we just honor our elders this morning and our pastors? They are amazing. This morning, we'll talk on three different things, and really, I don't think I've ever done this before, where it almost feels like three kind of separate sermons. But I see and thankful for the Spirit of God that kind of puts puzzles together, right? It's like everything seems like scattered until he steps into the room. And I think the last time that I spoke on Jesus, the great romancer, and being lovesick and pulling out Song of Solomon. And that theme has not left me. And I want to talk on three things today: adoration, identification, and manifestation. Adoration meaning, that we find out, we discover who he is. Identification, discovering who we are in him. And then the manifestation is how he moves in and through it. But until we see him, we can't see who we are. Therefore, we cannot manifest who he is. Amen. That was good. Okay. Sometimes you just decide to amen yourself because you're like, Jesus, that was good. So let's just start for a moment and let's just take just this moment. Jesus, we adore you. We just want to gaze on your beauty and the beauty of your holiness, Jesus. We want to see you. We don't want to see a man. We want to see you. We don't want to hear a message. We want to hear you. So Jesus, come. King of glory, enter in. King of glory, enter into this room. Make your presence known. Release the goodness of your presence in this moment, we pray. Release the beauty of your presence in this moment. Release the fragrance of heaven into this room. And Father, we thank you. I'm going to go ahead and declare something right now that's further in my message. But when Stephen was praying, I just want to declare this right now, that Jesus is here. And because Jesus is here, nothing is impossible. No infirmity can stand in his presence. No depression can stand in his presence. No oppression can stand in his presence. And I just want to declare prophetically right now that Jesus, the Son of God, the one who bore our sins upon the cross, the one that bore our stripes upon his back for our healing, our health, our wholeness, he is here in this room. And I declare right now, if Jesus is here at all, then Jesus is here to do all. If he's here at all, he's here to do all. And why would we expect him to be present but out of character? So when he's in the room, his character is here. His nature is here. He is here. And all that that encompasses is here. Can you just agree with me in this moment that he is here? And if he's here at all, he's here to do all. So Jesus, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Hi, yay, yay. I'm this close to talking in another language. I promise you. I'm super happy. So Psalm 27, as we talk about adoration, Stephen preached on praying the Psalms. And there's so many Psalms. Stephen, I think you went through two or three this morning. There's so many Psalms where the psalmist, whether it's David or one of the other writers, is just in this posture of adoration. But Psalm 27 is one of my favorite, and I want to focus on verse 4 and verse 8. Of that chapter. And I'm going to read from the Amplified, and then I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. So Psalm 27:4 in the Amplified says this: "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple." Verse 8 says this: "You have said, seek my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, fire of necessity and on the authority of your word." Here's what the Passion Translation says in verse 4. "Here's the one thing that I crave from God. The one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house. Finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. Verse 8 says, Lord, when you said to me, seek my face, my inner being responded, I'm seeking your face, Lord, with all of my heart. See, in verse 4, David says that there's only one thing that I want. In verse 8, he said, there's only one thing that I seek. And what is that? I long for, I'm desperate for, I want, I seek for the face of God. The sweetness of his presence. The delightfulness of his presence. And so as we lift our eyes up, Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the hills from where my help comes. My help comes from you, maker of heaven and maker of earth. Church and all those online, we are in a moment right now where there's no better strategy than to lift our eyes up to the hills from where our help comes from. Our help comes from him, maker of heaven and maker of earth, above all else. Amen. Amen. So in that moment that we're beholding him, we're gazing on him, everything else is so forgotten, so put behind us, so laid aside in this all-out pursuit and enjoyment and search for the presence of the Lord. See, one of the things that David said he will do is behold, is to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And what behold means is to direct your gaze toward him. See, I think of Peter as he stepped out of the water. It's not out of the water. Stepped on out of the boat onto the water. And I've always paid attention to the fact as long as he beheld Jesus, as long as he kept his gaze on the author and the finisher of his faith, that water was like cement under his feet. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the chaos all around him, he saw the waves all around him, that is when he began to be consumed by that which is around him. See, we can't control what happens around us, but we have full control over what happens inside of us. And so as we lift our eyes up to him, that keeps our heart in the right posture. And to behold is to give attention to the most attractive thing to the soul of man, which is God himself. Why is that so attractive? Because before the fall, we were created in his likeness. We were created to be in constant communion and fellowship with him. And every soul of man, whether a believer or non-believer, cries out to be restored to the Creator, to be restored to the one that created them. The soul of man is drawn to God and longs for God. And as it gives attention to him, the soul begins to see the reason that it was made. Now, for those online right now, I want you to either put in the chat, I want you to write this, type this out. I want you to type out, the bending is in the beholding. The bowing is in the beholding. The adoring is in the beholding. That's when we bend our heart to his way and his will and his purposes and his plans and him alone. The bending is in the beholding. He deserves all of our attention. And there's a lot of distractions. Can I get a witness? There's a lot of distractions all around us. But he deserves all our attention. He deserves all our affection. All of it. Every ounce of it. He deserves it all. So Jesus, we pause in this moment. We just give it to you. Here's our affection. Like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, we pour our love, we lavish our love on you. We lavish it, Jesus, on you. You deserve all of our attention. You deserve all of our affection. You deserve all that's going on inside of us, the busyness, the distractions. Jesus, we bring all of that, and we cast all of our cares on you. We lay it at your feet. for you care for us. He is all. He is only. And Jesus is in a category all by himself. I just want to take a few minutes. I'm going to go to the keyboard. I just want us to sing some songs of adoration. Let's just take a few minutes and just gaze on him. You guys up for that? Okay, let's do it. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Sing that again, O Lord. And O Lord, you're beautiful, and your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. Sing it out, church. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Beautiful than that. diamonds and nothing I desire compares to you. And nothing I desire compares to church. Sing his name, Jesus. Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus. I worship you, King of kings, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. One last time, King of kings, King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Worship him. Cast your gaze on him. Oh, how we adore you, Lord. There's no one like you. There's nothing else I want to do, Lord, then adore you. Come on, lift your voices. Sing out to the Lord. Sing in your prayer language. Sing a new song. There's no one like you, Lord. Nothing I desire. Nothing I desire. Oh no. Nothing I desire compares with you. Jesus, we adore you. You know, this week I was reflecting back on in the 90s and the move of God through this church and this ministry, and the associate pastor at the time was Kent Sullivan, and I never heard Kent talk more than 2 minutes. Because I'd only come on Sunday nights, and he would come up, grab the microphone, and he would either end up laying over the podium, or he would end up laying on the floor, and the Holy Spirit himself would come and would minister in word, would minister in power. And I just reflected back on the absence of the words of man and the power of the presence of the Lord in those moments. And sometimes I don't want to say anything. I mean, really, right now it's even hard to say anything. I just want to lay on the floor. I just want to gaze on his beauty, because that is what defines me. He defines me. His word, his written word, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Father, I sometimes in the morning, when I read my Bible after I'm done, I just kiss it, because I'm so thankful for the word. And there's moments yet in his presence that the word becomes flesh and it becomes life, and you feel it in your bones, you feel it in your spirit. And Jesus, we thank you for your written word. We thank you that you are the word, and we thank you for the life, the spirit of God that's in your word. So as we move on to, we've talked about adoration, we've now moving to identification, knowing that once we discover who he is, then we get the opportunity to discover who we are in him. And I was thinking about Moses. Why was Moses raised in Pharaoh's house? That is where Moses got his identity. Why? Well, because a man that is enslaved internally cannot free people who are enslaved externally. And Pharaoh needed that moment. He needed that season of his life to learn what a leader looks like, how a leader thinks, how a leader acts. And so I want to encourage you. Listen, I don't know how things were in Pharaoh's house. They may have been wonderful. I don't know. But I know there's things that have happened in your life and my life that have our preparation, because God is freeing you internally, so that you can carry the very power of heaven to release and free those externally all around you. So be thankful for the seasons that you walk through, because they are preparation. They're training ground for you to step into being the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus in the earth. Amen. Amen. And I love this. You don't become what you want to become. You become what you behold. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's a phrase in the business world that says, what you talk about comes about. Right? And you talk about what you think about and what you behold and what you magnify and what you focus on. So you become what you behold. And I was reminded of the story of Jacob. Jacob was tricked by his father-in-law Laban. Not a cool father-in-law at all. Jacob thought he was getting this, and he got that. And so he worked out this bargain with Laban. And this is in Genesis 30, verses 31 through 42. And so Jacob wants Rachel, right? And so he said, hey, Laban, what should I pay you? Laban said to him, what should I pay you? And Jacob said, listen, don't pay me a thing. I'm good. But how about that? You go back to your pasture, and you care for your flocks, and go through your entire flock, and pick out every speckled and spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb. So Jacob just basically said, hey, you pick out all these, you know, these sheep and these goats, and they will be my wages. That way you can check on my honesty and assess my wages. So Laban said, that's a deal, absolutely. He immediately went, he pulled out all the spotted sheep, all the spotted goats, all of those black sheep, placed them under the care of his sons, and then Laban went on a three-day journey away from Jacob. Okay? So many of you know the story. Jacob said, but Jacob got fresh branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and peeled the bark, leaving white stripes on them. And he stuck, I don't even know how this works, for real. I don't even know how this worked. He stuck the peeled branches in front of the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink. And when the flocks were in heat, they came to drink and mated in front of the streaked branches. They gave birth to young that were streaked, spotted, or speckled. And Jacob placed the ewes before the dark-colored animals of Laban. That way he got distinctive flocks for himself, which he didn't mix with Laban's flocks. And when the sturdier animals were mating, Jacob placed branches at the troughs in view of the animals so that they mated in front of the branches. But he wouldn't set up the branches before the less the feeble animals. That way the feeble animals went to Laban and the sturdy ones went to Jacob. So you become what you behold. And there's one of my favorite worship leaders. Her name is Catherine Mullins. And I actually sang the song here a couple years ago when I was doing worship. But this song is called All My Worship. And I love this line in the song. She says, I will stay here for a little while until I look like the one I behold. And it's in the beholding that we begin to look more and more like him. I've heard of that about married couples, that the longer they're together, the more they look like, right? They just keep beholding each other, and somehow they come out looking like each other. Is that true? Okay. I don't know. Now, here's the thing. I want you to remember this. It matters. It matters what I think that God thinks about me. It matters what I think that God thinks about me, because if I see him in the wrong perspective, in the wrong light, then I'm going to think he sees me as something he doesn't see me as. And as I think about what God thinks about me, and I go into the Word of God, and I discover what he says about me, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a joint heir with Christ, which means I have access to everything Jesus has access to. Everything that the Word says that I am, and I behold that, and I read that, and I meditate on that, and I chew on that, and I find out who I am. I've already adored him. I've discovered who he is. Now I'm studying, and I'm meditating on who he says that I am. Then I begin to learn what God really does think about me. And I got good news for you. Scripture says that the devil was prideful, and God cast him to the earth, right? Here's the good news. God did not send the devil to this earth to torment you. He sent the devil to the earth for you to torment him. Because you carry inside of you the very Spirit of God, and it's time for him to stop tormenting you, and it's time for us to step into our identity and realize that we are here to torment him. That's good news. That's good news. And if we keep that perspective, he's not going to get that hold on us that he gets sometimes. And I love this, that God, listen very closely, God is the artist. Jesus is the model. And you are the painting. God's the artist. Jesus is the model and you are the painting. And that's what he sees in you. He sees you just like he sees Jesus. And so as we define, we discover who we are in him, and we think about what God thinks about us, then we begin to see that he sees us as lovely. He sees us as his child, as his own, as a joint heir with his son, Jesus. Ephesians 5:1 says this. He said, be imitators of God as beloved children. What does that mean? That means when you're acting like God, you're acting like yourself. Be imitators of God. And as we act like God, we're acting like who He created us to be. And I read, I texted Stephen and Philip something this week. I love Matthew 10 when Jesus is with the disciples. And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, verses 5 through 10. And this is going to go into the next topic of manifestation. But Matthew said this. He said, Jesus called 12 of his disciples and sent them into the right fields. He gave them power to kick out evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands. How many one of the harvest hands? One of the 12. We'll join right in with the 12, right? Here's what he says to them, and here's what he says to you. He said, don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in your own neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom of heaven is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. And don't think you have to put on some big fundraising campaign before you start. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. I love that. And all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day, so travel light. But his charge to the disciples, his charge to you and I, is to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, touch the untouchable. Freely you have received, freely give. You've been doted on generously, so live with that same generous heart in mind. And as I said earlier, and I think I actually missed something. It was super important. All right, so I said earlier, the bending is in the beholding, right? The next one is this. The becoming is in the beholding. The bending, the bowing is in the beholding. The becoming is in the beholding. And the last thing is this, as we move into manifestation, that the empowering is in the beholding. It's not that we get more power than he's already given us. It's just we realize in his presence, as we behold, as we gaze upon him, that the impossible is possible. And we, not that we're more empowered, but we're more aware of what really, that the same spirit that raised Jesus, I mean, do we even comprehend what that means? The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, lives in us, takes up residence in us to quicken and strengthen and empower our mortal bodies. And if we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, guess what? He wants out. Okay, he wants to come out and be imparted and be released into those around us. And I'm going to say it again. Why would we expect Jesus himself to be present, but out of character? See, a lot of us need healing in our bodies. Not just minister healing to others, but we need healing for ourselves. So I just want to talk about that for a moment. Adoration, identification, and the manifestation once we discover who we are. That his stripes were born for our healing. That we can walk in the promises of Scripture. Matthew 11:30 says this, my yoke, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think sometimes we can make healing harder than what it really is. And I believe that the harder that we make it, the further we actually are from the gospel and the truth of Scripture. See, something in our mind makes us think that we have to do this list of things before God's going to show up and show off. No, he's just good. Not based on anything you've done. It's just who he is. It's his character. It's his nature. It's who he is. Acts 10:38 said this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, I believe that God wants you and I to be well, to walk in health. But unfortunately, some Christians make it, they actually fight for the right to stay sick, and they're trying to find reasons why they probably won't get healed or won't get better. But the truth of Scripture is Jesus healed all. And it's obvious that somewhere in the heart of God that he thinks it's actually good to heal all. Never once did somebody come to Jesus and ask to be healed, and Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually going to leave you sick because there's a few things I need you to learn, a few lessons for you to learn. No, he healed all. Can you say that with me? He healed all. How do we know that? Well, Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went throughout all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. See, he went to all because it works everywhere. There's no place that the gospel doesn't work. There's no circumstance where the gospel is not going to function. There's no people that the gospel will not transform. We got to believe that. That the gospel, the good news, is meant for all people and all places. Amen. And that again, healing is the nature. It's the character. It's who he is. He is healing. It's not what he does. It's who he is. And that he paid an extraordinary price for our healing. So I just want to take a moment right now, and I just want to pray. And again, I believe that Jesus is here at all. He's here to do all. And it's not anything that I can do. It's just who he is. And I believe in this moment that healing is available for you. It's available for you online, all over the world. It is available. If he is here, then his nature and his character is here. So let me do a test. How do we believe that Jesus is here? Jesus, the King of Glory, like the one who spoke this world into existence, is in this room. So Jesus, nothing was made without you. You made it all. So it's to you we look. Sang it earlier, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Healer, our Deliverer. We look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And not of my own authority, but in the very authority, Jesus, that you spoke to the roots of the fig tree and commanded it to shrivel up and die and no longer produce fruit anymore. In that authority, I speak to the very root of every infirmity, infection, discomfort, disease right now. You must bend your neck and you must bow your knee to the name that is above every other name. So by the power of the blood of Jesus and by the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, infirmities go in Jesus' name. Sickness, go in Jesus' name. Abnormalities, go in Jesus' name. We declare it. We come into agreement. And everything's established by two or three witnesses. So we come into agreement right now that Jesus the healer is in the room. And as we cast our eyes and we adore him and we release all control, we release all of it to him. We lay our cares, our worries, our concerns, our busyness at his feet. And we say, Jesus, come and do what only you can do. Take what's wrong and make it right. Jesus, we adore you. And over the next days and weeks and months, Jesus, in your kindness, would you come by the power of your Spirit and instruct us, reveal to us who we are in you. As we behold you, may we begin to look more and more like the one that we behold. And out of that place of identity, knowing who we are, Jesus, may we be your hands, be your feet, be your mouthpiece, and release the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in the earth. That's why we're here. It's not to hoard. Jesus, you put us here in this moment. We could have been born centuries ago, but you chose us for this moment to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece, to be Jesus in the earth to those around us, to step out in love and not just be moved with compassion, but to act on that compassion and heal the sick and cleanse the leper and raise the dead. Jesus, we have received so freely. May we so freely give to those around us. And we pray as Jesus prayed, kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done in our lives, in our marriages, in our children, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, in our government, in our finances, everything that concerns us. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. I'm going to ask the altar ministry teams if you could be in your spots over here on the side. And Jeremy, if you could hang around near the front, be available to pray for people as well. And I'll ask this praise team to just stay and hang around for a while and let you worship if you'd like. We are a people of prayer. We want to be available to you. You heard that, those prayers just even coming out at the end. Lord God, we receive your healing strength, Lord God. We receive amazing miracles right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As we are adoring you and identify with you, Lord, we pray for that manifestation of actual healing and people sensing, Lord God, pain to leave and joints to get mobile, Lord God, and Lord God, strength to come to bodies right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm praying for you online as well to receive that amazing, surprising healing miracle that you didn't think was going to happen, Lord God. Lord, bless that person. Heal them right now. Thank you, Father. We, again, want to be available for prayer for anything going on in your life. Don't walk out of here in feeling alone. Get prayer. Receive prayer. It might be for you or a family member, and they'll take you across the hall for a place to pray. We have a prayer line online, a phone number for you to call over the next 30 minutes. That's available on Sunday mornings. Because, again, we don't want you to feel alone, like you're battling something. You're in the middle of something by yourself. That's what prayer is. You know, the word says to pray for one another, stand together, and that we're not alone. No, we are together. Lord God, thank you that this week is a week of blessing. Lord, we thank you that you're more than enough, that your grace is abundant. Lord, we thank you that we go with this this teaching from your word, Lord God, to adore you, Lord, to walk identified with you, and Lord, to expect manifestation of your presence, Lord God. Father, we want to grow in this. We want to learn this and walk in it, Lord. Help us. Bring it back to our mind and spirit this week. Lord, may the seeds planted today bear fruit into this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have a great week. Great to be together. And hang around for worship or prayer or fellowship in the gathering place. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.